The trafficking of young girls for prostitution bored him. He had entered into negotiations with the Muslims to sell them nuclear weapons capability principally because it allowed him to recapture a little of his past, when what he did, what he ordered, affected thousands. Now he was just a businessman, like so many others. He made a lot of money, he lived in great luxury, but if he were gone tomorrow, who would care? No history book would hold his name. His superiors in the KGB had earned much of the credit for his work. They were immortal. By comparison, he was quite ordinary. Yet there were those who knew what he had done, and that was why he'd had to run, hide like a mouse in a wall. He'd had little choice if he wanted to live. He had seen what happened to comrades who were not so nimble. Some were torn apart by hordes of angry people who had spent their entire lives imprisoned while living in their own country. He understood the emotion perfectly. He just didn't want to suffer the consequences of it. He opened another drawer, pulled out an old book, and leafed through it, revealing page after page of drawings in his own hand. He had always been a good sketch artist, having learned the skill from his mother, who had earned her living as a street artist, first in France and then in Kiev, before ending up in a fishing village that was icebound 5 months of the year, married to a man who did not love her. Even now, Waller did not know the full history of the pair and what had drawn them together. Reproduced in this book were many of the people he'd killed, their dead or dying faces done in charcoal, black ink, or pencil only. There was no color in this book. The dead did not require it. The next book he slid out of his desk might have surprised some people who had known the old Fedor Kuchin. He hefted the Bible in his hand. The Soviet Union, of course, had been vehemently opposed to organized religion of any kind, the opium of the masses, as Marx had pointed out. Yet Waller's mother had been French and a devout Catholic, and she had raised her son in her religious beliefs, even though it was a very dangerous thing to do. She read the Bible to him every night, while his usually drunk father slept. What had first appealed to Waller about the readings was how much violence was contained in a book purportedly espousing peace and love. Many people were slaughtered in ways even the grown Fedor Kuchin would not have employed. Reciting the Lord's Prayer with his mother each night, she had always emphasized one phrase above all others, lingering over it as though giving it its due. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Waller well knew the evil she was referring to, her husband. His poor mother, good to the last. Yet what she didn't understand about evil, her son clearly did. Given the proper motivation, anyone was capable of terrible cruelty, baseless savagery, horrific violence. A mother would kill to protect her child, or a child his mother. A soldier kills to protect his country. Waller had killed to protect both his mother and his country. He was good at it, understood quite clearly the mindset required. He was not desensitized to violence. He respected it. He did not use it cavalierly. Yet when he did employ it, he couldn't say that he didn't enjoy the process, because he did. Did that make him evil? Perhaps. Would his mother have considered him evil? Clearly not. He killed for his country, his mother, and his own survival. When people struck him, he struck back. There could be no fairer set of rules ever conceived. He was who he was. He was true to himself, while most people lived their lives as a facade only, their real selves buried under a platform of lies. They would smile at their friend before thrusting the knife into his back. Under those parameters, who was truly the evil one? The lion roared before it attacked, while the snake slithered in silence before sinking its fangs into unsuspecting flesh. I am a lion, he thought. Or at least I used to be.